From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, a summary of the new Farm Bill proposal reveals Congress hopes to eliminate direct payments and rename and expand the counter-cyclical program. The WTO has ruled against the United States country of origin labeling law, and Tyson Food execs say the company's net income has dropped dramatically when compared to last year's fourth quarter. Dave Dickey will have all the details in just a bit. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. December contract in the soft red winter wheat, a loss of 6¾ cents at $5.91 a bushel. The July futures, 641½, the new crop harvest month, down 4½ for the soft red winter wheat. Hard red in Kansas City settled 0.75 cents lower at $6.92¾. Back in Chicago's CME Group Corn Pit, December contract, $5.97¾, 12½ cents lower. March futures, 6.05 down 13. May corn 6.11½, 13 cents lower. And July at 6.15½, down 12½ cents. December futures down 9 at $5.50 for the 2012 crop year. January beans $11.48, down 20¼. The March at 11.58, 20¼ lower. May down 20¼ at 11.67¾. July following suit, down 20¼ as well at $11.76¾. November of next year at $11.64¼, a loss today of 17¼ cents. December bean meal futures at $2.89.60, down $8.80. December bean oil at $49.89. down 99 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the December contract at 119.97½, up 27½. February at 121.80, 2½ higher. January feeders $1.25 lower at 146.17½, and December lean hogs at 87.95, 47½ cents higher for the day. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January contract, $96.93 a barrel, 74 cents lower. Ethanol at $2.54¼, down 5¾ cents. Natural gas at $3.40¼, up 9¾ cents. And diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.99¼, 3¼ cents lower. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,678.30 an ounce, down $46.40. The Dow just about 253 points lower at 11,542. The dollar at 78.27 is up 0.21, and the CRB index on the day at 308.81, down 3.4 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area for this afternoon. Yet cloudy, a high of 49 degrees with east winds at 6 to 8 miles an hour tonight, mostly clear. Showers likely after midnight. Cloudy, a low of 46, east winds at 6 to 9. Chance of precip set at 60% for this evening. Tuesday, occasional showers, possibly a thunderstorm. High near 55 degrees, north-northwest winds between 5 and 14. They'll gust all the way to 21. The chance of precipitation set at 100% for Tuesday. Tuesday night, a 50% chance of rain before midnight, cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy. A low of 39 degrees, west-northwest winds at 10 to 15, gusting to 22. And on Wednesday, sunny skies will return, a high of 52 degrees, northwest winds between 6 and 9. Wednesday night, now the mostly clear, a low of 34. Thanksgiving Day, sunny, a high of 57. And on Thursday night, mostly clear, a low of 41 degrees. Friday, sunny skies, breezy, a high of 58. Friday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 47. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and talks with the folks at Chesapeake Energy.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures for a Monday afternoon is Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Well, Kurt, let's take a look at what did happen in the marketplace for the afternoon. Start with the reason we're so far lower on the day.
Well, I think it was investor confidence once again. Continued worries what's going on in Europe, and probably more home here today with the so-called super committee not coming up with no super strategy to trim the deficit. So there's some automatic procedures now starting to kick in that as we move down the road here. Concerned that we're probably going to be faced with a lot more uncertainty as we move down the road. Just sort of avoid the buyer's type of mentality to enter the marketplace today. And that's coupled with slowdown demand. We've seen basis back off in some areas here over the last few trading days. Favorable weather in the southern hemisphere. Brazil's 78% planted, no real weather threat. So they're on target for some big production numbers. And even in the wheat area, even though there's concern here in the U.S., world wheat numbers seem to be adequate with the possibility of slowing down demand due to uncertainty of the world economics. So it's just overall a negative day. It's got me negative pretty much here today. So we ought to be close to a little short-term low, Todd.
There you go. If everybody turns negative, maybe we can turn it around. But the marketplace has been turned lower at this point, and December corn now below $6 a bushel on the futures market.
From a technical point of view, that opens the door to 550 short-term in here. Failure to get back above the psychological $6 level opens the door here short term to 580. So it's going to be important to see some buyers come in and support the market. We need some good old-fashioned demand to come in that would give the trade some confidence. If you're a buyer of cash corn, you sort of got your hands in your pocket here waiting for some type of sign that there's a bottom in place to encourage you to be a buyer.
And you're talking about export demand coming into the marketplace. Who might that be?
Good question. it's about time for China to step up and buy a little bit more here. That's kind of the wild card. I doubt that happens. But the thing that we saw here last week is Japan, one of our largest Asian buyers, went elsewhere to buy corn. So that's kind of a bad deal when you look at the big picture here. Just resuming some of our traditional buyers, Japan, getting them back in the U.S. market, Mexico, South Korea. We just need some of our traditional buyers to be a buyer here. Then domestic-wise, concerns about Tyson and some of the domestic livestock sectors here maybe not turning quite as much profit as the trade wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. What are producers asking when they call today?
I wish I could, I should, I would. type of mentality here. A lot of them are just sitting tight here, sort of banking on some type of a little bit of a low here, some recovery year in before moving some cash grain. The thing is that they're going to be tight holders from the point that once they pay minimum storage or put the grain in the bin, it's awful hard to get them sell on that. A lot of questions about 2012 production.
That was my next question.
I think that the urgency is starting to pick up here, that if we do see some strength in here, guys are going to be more willing sellers there to lock in some of that 12. The simplest way to do it is put a floor underneath the marketplace. A lot of the analysts you have on the program has got some excellent strategies out there where you put a floor under you and leave your upside open in case you have some production concerns. But the key probably in the 2012 is just have some type of paper floor under you and sort of maybe leave the cash open.
They don't seem to be as concerned, I don't think at least, about the price of soybeans, because $11 or $12 soybeans doesn't seem nearly as high as $6 or $6.50 or $7 corn does. Are they thinking of the same types of strategies for soybeans as corn, and are you recommending such?
I think overall there's downside risk, and I think you need to manage that downside risk for both commodities. But the goal in the corn, as you mentioned, there would be $6. It's one of those type of years where a move back to $6, I think guys are going to be willing to lock some of that in.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
It's a dynamic market. It's been a great year up and down. And the Thanksgiving holiday here, we really appreciate being your part of your program there, and hope everybody has an enjoyable Thanksgiving holiday.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye now. That is Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, for you to listen to at will anytime you'd like at willag.org. Support comes from the Farm Doc Project at the University of Illinois, holding a series of five Illinois Farm Economic Summit meetings December 12th through the 16th to discuss and analyze the most pressing economic issues facing Illinois producers. Registration and details on their website, farmdoc.illinois.edu. This is the Closing Market Report. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, a 16-page draft summary of program changes from the Senate Agriculture Committee reflects that the new farm bill would eliminate direct payments while renaming and expanding the counter-cyclical program with higher target prices and new acreage formulas. Lawmakers are reportedly close to finalizing changes and funding authorizations for every title of the Farm Bill and several specific programs. Lawmakers and their staffs declined to comment about the draft Friday, stating no public comments would be made until an official Farm Bill plan is released. House and Senate Agriculture Committees have been working to cut $23 billion in program spending in the proposal being sent to the Supercommittee. The World Trade Organization says that its dispute settlement body finds that the U.S. country of origin labeling law violates technical barriers to trade by discriminating against imports of livestock, and it creates more obstacles to trade than necessary. Industry sources suggest that the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative still intends to appeal the panel findings, and that the agency's formal position is that COOL requirements provides valuable information to consumers about beef and pork products. Tyson Foods executives say net income for the fourth quarter was less than half of what it was last year, with higher grain costs offsetting better prices and revenue. There were operating income declines of $3 million for beef, $12 million for pork, and $223 million for chicken. Tyson posted a net income of $97 million, or 26 cents per share, for the final quarter of the year, compared with $213 million, or 57 cents per share a year ago. The company increased prices sharply, with chickens up 5%, pork up 13%, and beef up 19%. Still, profit margins remained under pressure because of higher costs. The National Association for Business Economics predicts the economy will grow 2.4% in 2012, only a slight improvement from the 1.8% growth they expect for all of 2011. Both estimates were a slight 1/10 percentage point higher than the group's September forecast. The new survey released today is in line with other private economists. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. A programming note related to Commodity Week. Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving. Friday is a University of Illinois holiday. I will be taking that off and spending time with my family. Instead, we'll have Commodity Week as part of this program. We'll record it on Wednesday afternoon. The markets are open, but we won't give you live updates on Friday afternoon. Simply be aware of that as we make our way through the week this week. Now, up next, let's talk about cash rents. The United States Department of Agriculture reports average farmland cash rents for every county in the nation. But as you'll hear in a moment, within a county, those rents can vary widely from the average. Farmers love and hate the cash rent discussion. They love to talk about the highest cash rents they've heard, but hate for anyone to know about it. Still, the cash rents are out there, and over the last several years, the U.S. government has been collecting them, says Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnidke. That's where he started when looking to see how the Illinois averages compared to the cash rent ranges in each county.
NAS, National Ag Statistics Service, reports average cash rents, and what we did was compare farm rents, or rents that farms paid, to those averages. And what we find is a very variable rents, even within a county. And just to give you a feel, only 35% of the rents, farm rents, are between plus or minus 20% from the county average. And the rest of those rents are outside of that range. So when we talk about averages, there's extreme variability around those averages.
That variability was compiled from the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management, or FBFM, records. The comparison showed the broad range of cash rents within a county, but also that the NAS numbers were on target statewide.
If we look at it on a total state basis, what FBFM says the average cash rent is versus what NAS is, they're within $2 of one another. So that gives us comfort or support that those rents that NAS are reporting are in fact the averages. But again, you know, that averages will have quite a bit of variability around it.
Here's just how much variability.
7% of the rents in the state are between $60 and $100 higher than the average cash rent, and 3% are over $100 higher than the average cash rent. And a similar thing on the low side. There's 8% of the rents that are $60 to $100 below the average, and 2% over $100 below the average.
The range is big, and Schnitke says soil productivity does not really explain it. He says landowners and farmers have relationships that make it hard to quantify why a rent might fall way outside the average cash rent. So if you hear of a very high cash rent, says Schnitke, there's probably a very low cash rent that corresponds to it.
That's exactly right. And so when we hear about high cash rents, or you know the over $400 and $500 cash rents, they are outliers. They do exist, but there's many, many more that are much lower than that. And in fact, if you look at the averages reported by NAS, it is close to what averages are in the state.
You can find information about the average cash rents on the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. Look under Farmland Leases in the Management section at farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. From right here in Champaign County, Jenny Springer has been waiting patiently on the phone line. Hi, Jenny. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Well, not bad for a gray day. Getting ready for a bit more rain here in our part of the world. And farmers have watched again for, I think, what, the fourth day in a row of the price of corn move lower. And I suspect you're reflecting the same in your cash bids for the day. Is that right?
Yes.
And has basis been holding strong, though, as it's dropped off?
Yes. Basis really has stayed steady, both corn and bean cash basis, and into the JFM timeframe. Has stayed pretty steady, really, since the end of October, since we kind of wrapped up the majority of harvest.
I suppose producers are a little concerned at this time that they have waited maybe too long. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's the general feel, especially with the, you know, the downturn it's taken, you know, the last four or five market sessions. So, you know, guys are kind of wondering where they can actually get some cash corn or, you know, lock some stuff in out of the bin. And you know, kind of what we were talking about this afternoon is just with where the retracement levels are from all the way back to 2010 to now when we started this rally. If you look, the 50% retracement line is at about 590, and the 32% is about 638. So, you know, the thinking is that's kind of going to be the new range that we're working in, you know, here between here and the end of the year. Unless we break lower than that 590, you know, then the next support level at 62% is at 550. So, you know, anywhere from that 550 to 638, you know, trading range, I think, is where a guy's going to have to get some stuff sold.
Are you of the mind that $6 cash corn will be a spot that producers will actually market corn?
With the downturn we've taken and, you know, hopefully a realistic view, I would say so. I know a lot of guys still have their sights set on $7 corn, but I just don't think that we get back there in a, you know, between now and really the first of the year or even after that.
By comparison to the last couple, 2 or 3 years, how far along in the marketing process or ownership process on your part, I suppose, the Andersons part there, Champaign County, do you think you are?
Oh, I mean, I think we're still, guys took advantage of selling, you know, the $7 corn that we did see, you know, prior to harvest. But I think the concern that guys had was they, you know, where their yields were actually going to end up. So when they got to that 60, you know, to 70% sold mark, they stopped because they were afraid, like last year, they were going to come up short. So, I mean, I think we're still in line with where we normally are. It's just guys are concerned. Obviously, they didn't market this some of the $7 corn because they were afraid of where their yields were going to be, and now they're kind of regretting it.
And on soybeans?
I would say the same. You know, we're still kind of in the same boat where we've seen, you know, the market turn down, and guys really, I mean, there's not a lot of beans, I guess, sitting here as far as DP is concerned, but I think there's still quite a few beans in the bins that are uncommitted. You know, guys with a lower corn yield, they put beans in the bin this year, too, just because they had the space.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn is at $6.08, and cash beans are at $11.29.
Thanks so much, Jenny.
Thanks.
Jenny Springer is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
We'll say so long now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, we'll be back in just a couple minutes with a look at today's agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Stuffing Day. By the way, stuffing goes way back. A book estimated written around the 2nd century BC has recipes for stuffed chicken, hare, and pig. Most of the early stuffings were vegetables, herbs, nuts, an ancient variety of wheat, chopped liver, and brains. On this day in agricultural history in 1849, Johann August Brunell was born. A Swedish metallurgist, he devised a rapid non-destructive test for measuring the hardness of metals. In 1867, Vladimir Ipatov was born. A Russian-born U.S. chemist, he was one of the first to investigate high-pressure catalytic reactions to hydrocarbons and devise a process for manufacturing high-octane gasoline. And in 1941, King Biscuit Time Radio was first broadcast from Helena, Arkansas. It is the longest-running daily radio program in history, broadcasting live blues music and interviews. The daily programming of Sonny Boy Williamson, Pine Top Perkins, Robert Lockwood Jr., and other Delta blues legends laid the foundation for all blues, rock, pop, and hip-hop music today. The show is named for its sponsor, King Biscuit Flour. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us, John Davis of Chesapeake Energy up on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building in Chicago, Illinois. Cloudy skies there too, I suppose, John. Is that right?
Partly cloudy, Todd.
Partly cloudy. Oh, we're all cloudy here, and it, according to the National Weather Service, eventually it will start to rain, and we are definitely going to have rain tomorrow. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yes, a lot of the Illinois, Indiana region will tend to get rain here the early portion of this week, tomorrow night into the very early portion of Wednesday. But then after that, it is warm and dry late this week. In fact, Thanksgiving, unseasonably warm on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, sounds like a beautiful day. Sunny skies and what, a high almost to 60 degrees?
Yeah, I think for most of the area, upper 50s, lower 60s is the general rule. And the same will hold, too, for Friday into Saturday as well. So a really nice Thanksgiving weekend upcoming.
Oh, perfect for putting out Christmas lights,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen often, so it's nice that it will. What are you concerned about in the world of agriculture? And maybe you can start with Ohio, where they kind of like to have some dry weather. They keep getting wet and still have corn to harvest.
They do, and it looks like the pattern remains quite active across those areas, and the active zone right now across the middle of the country extends through the Ohio Valley, back into the Delta, and right over Ohio. So the problems that they've had this fall will continue as we go into the end of November. So there's a couple of breaks in the action where they will have a couple of days of open weather. But for any kind of long-term extended period of dry weather that would really aid in their field work operations, it's just not on tap through month's end and, for that matter, into early December as well.
Tell me about the winter wheat crops across the United States and how they're faring as we head into the winter season.
Relatively good. The last 5 or 6 weeks have been a relatively wet period comparatively for the Plains Hard Red Belt as well as the Midwest Soft Red Winter Wheat Belt. That's in stark contrast to the drought that occurred across those areas, especially the Plains, back over the summer and on into the spring period. But they've gotten the moisture that they need across those areas in pretty good shape. And with the warm pattern that we're having, we're still seeing growth, and those crops are still getting established prior to winter dormancy. So the winter wheat crops in general, both Midwest and Plains, pretty good shape as we head toward winter.
Turn your attention to South America and talk about Argentina and Brazil.
Brazil had been getting some dry patches, and they had been getting some areas, especially in the south, where they needed a big rain event to boost moisture levels. They're getting that rain event as we speak. In fact, rain started early this morning across southern Brazil and will continue through Wednesday across those areas. And that's something that was a needed entity for Brazil. But once that situation is taken care of, the bulk of Brazil acreage, the bulk of Argentina acreage, in very good shape and really no problems across those areas.
You and your crew have a great Thanksgiving holiday, please.
You too, Todd.
Thanks so much, John. John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. That wraps it up. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.